What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Buckets and Banter podcast. I'm your host, George Marshall, with my co-host, Jeffrey Alexander Montgomery Bendel. Jeff, how are we doing today on this fine evening?
I'm fine. Montgomery is actually somewhere in my family as a last name, so you're getting warmer.
Getting warmer. There we go. What if I just randomly guess it correctly one day? I think that that will happen at some point.
Well, it's really not a hard middle name, so.
Good to know. Good to know. Excited for today's episode. As always, thank you to those of you who tuned in. Our last episode honestly was a big uptick in interest, and I think that you would agree when you talk about players and you talk about coaches. Suddenly, everybody wants to listen. It's a miraculous thing.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say people are more interested in that than our takes on Space Jam, even though that got great reviews as well.
What's so funny about it is I don't apologize for making those types of segments because like the Curse of the Hornets and like the Space Jam segment were so fun to film and to
Yeah.
research. I put in substantially more research into those topics than others. But I'm really excited about today's show as well. So thank you to everyone who tuned in. There's a big show today. So what we're going to do is we're actually going to start the pod instead of doing errors, which I don't know if you thought of any. Was it another clean sheet or were we in a place where like.
It's hard to say when there's no NBA discussions for you to just
Right.
insert silly, nonsensical things. So I think we're good.
Perfect. We'll chalk it up to another clean sheet. But what we're going to do today, and Jeff doesn't even know that I'm going to call this segment this, but we're going to start with some general topics that Jeff thinks are all the rage in North Carolina high school hoops. And we're actually going to call it the same name as his article. We'll call it Bendel's Best. How about
Oh,
that?
I would also like to mention these were just storylines that I'm interested in. Not maybe not everybody, but these are what I'm looking at.
I
And this
think
might
it's
not be comedic.
no, you speak for the masses,
I
and the
don't.
masses are ready to listen to these topics. So let's get to it.
Great. All right. Well, first, I think one of the more interesting things is obviously Christ School now is a Nike Scholastic team. And kind of what that entails, who they'll be playing, how that'll look, and how the guys that they have will stack up. Obviously, they're loaded again. So, how's that going to look? How are some of the best players at a private school that would have obviously been one of the more dominant programs again this year
Right.
in NCISAA? How will they compete at the highest level with these other teams?
Yeah, I think that the move is interesting. I think the fact that they can't compete for a state championship is interesting. I don't necessarily disagree with that. I think that when you're pursuing something that they're pursuing, whether it be with the travel, with the expenses, with all the different things that go into it, I think it's a very unique situation. And so for Coach Coley, like I as someone who I've spoken to multiple times and have had great conversations with and taken advice from, he's the right man for the job, and he has been absolutely phenomenal there. And everywhere that he's been, he's won. So for him to be in a situation where he's able to take those guys to that level, I think is going to be great for them. I do think that in year one, it'll be a little bit of a learning curve. I think that there are specific positions that honestly, they've got to show themselves. It's not to say that they can't do it, but the reality is you're going into a situation with established Nike programs and established national powerhouses that are going to have some size and some real advantages over you. So I'm very interested to see how that goes.
Plus, as far as state championships go, I mean, I don't think Coley really needs to worry about. He's got plenty of them.
Right. I think that like that's what I mean to say is like he's done what he needs to do at that level.
Right.
I think that again, this is a logical next step. And I like the fact that it's like he doesn't have to jump to do it. So honestly, shout out to Christ School and the administration of the school, to the private school, the NCISAA for working that out. Like that's a great opportunity, and I think it's going to bring great publicity to the state.
Sure. And then I think moving outside of or staying outside of the public private sector, I question who are going to be the top independent teams. Obviously, Moravian's loaded. They're going to be one of the top teams in the state. But I think it's interesting. It felt like a few years ago we were trending more towards seeing a growth of independent programs, and now it feels like there's almost been a dearth, and you see less and less in that regard. I haven't heard a whole lot as far as what Combine's building, but a lot of this stuff moves so quickly that you really don't know. Liberty Heights obviously isn't a thing anymore, but that they were great in their time. Word of God still, they're going to get pieces, but it's obviously who's going to be the guys that they're going to have is really the question I think that I'm having. So is it just going to be Moravian is going to be the top dog again, or what are we going to see?
I think it would be wrong of me not to throw a plug in for CPI.
Sure.
I think that DJ, as the coach and the roster that he's built, is kind of this ultimate wild card. I think he's done a great job of leveraging his connections in AAU and in the Charlotte area to building a great roster. So I think that everyone should be really excited to see them. I think that it's almost impossible to bet against Antonio Lowe at this point.
Sure. I completely
Like,
forgot there's an independent.
everyone can say what they want about, like, well, who's coming in for Combine and who's coming. Like, guys, at the end of the day, Antonio Lowe is going to have a mob. And at the end of the day, they are going to play together and they are going to be tough as nails. And that's just the MO of who he's been ever since I've coached against him. So, and for the many years that he coached prior to us coaching against each other. So I am very excited to see the roster that he puts together there. That they are always going to be one of those teams where when you see them on the schedule, you know what's coming. You know
Yeah,
it's going to be, you know what's coming.
that was a big oversight on my end. I always do that because I forget that they're an actual private school, but they're just not an NCISA affiliate. But yes, my bad, Antonio Lowe. Their team's already loaded. I don't know how many more pieces they need to add. I think their most recent addition was Jaleel Smith, another one of the top 2028 guards. So they're going to be really good.
100%.
I also, I, along with that Jaleel Smith comment, a lot of these transfers we're seeing, both inside the state and outside the state, how is that going to affect the landscape, both public, private, and independent, or rather, and independent? But it's just so many kids are moving around now. I mean, you're not a stranger to it. You have a lot of your roster is completely different for the most part, and it's one of those things where it's interesting to see how quickly cohesive units are built and how quickly these guys get on the same page and what it all looks like.
The amount of time those guys spend together, I think, is really important. That's something that we've tried to prioritize very significantly. I think that one of the things that I've realized is that in this world and in this landscape that we're in basketball, Deion Sanders said this really well a couple years ago, or maybe it was last year when someone asked him about his emphasis on the transfer portal. And he just said, like, guys, people have been doing this for decades. Like, what is free agency? What is, any number of these other things? What is, a kid transferring in high school from a public to private or vice versa? What is, the thing in, like, the bottom line is that this is a beast that has existed. So I'm interested, like you, to see which teams adjust quickly. And I think that it's really going to come back to a team's ability to become cohesive faster that would ultimately lead to their success. There's something to be said about teams who stay together, even what is now 2 years. Like,
Right.
isn't that crazy? Like, when you think about, and I think about the Henderson Collegiate teams, that was a core group together from middle school through high school. And you sprinkle in a transfer or two every now and then because they want a different option or a different opportunity. But by and large, that was a really tight-knit group that just started when that we were in seventh grade together. And now I can't even fathom that happening.
Right.
Like, it's the strangest thing. Like, I can't even begin to think about what that would even look like now. And if there are communities out there who are doing that and who are killing it, like, I'd love to learn from their coach because I think that that's tremendous. But It's going to be interesting this year for sure. New classifications, which I know we'll talk about in a second, but transfers are going to be kind of the thing that stirs the pot.
I mean, transfers have been happening for decades, maybe, but it's definitely more common now than I think ever before.
100%, 100%.
That's for the emphasis. But next, I feel like public school, especially, but this, I guess, pertains to public, private, all around. It just feels like things are a lot more wide open this year. Kind of going off that last point, a lot of the top kids have transferred out of the state. A lot of the top kids, you could argue, in the state, regardless of class, are in the class of 2028. So, and they're only sophomores who have yet to play a sophomore game.
Right.
So, a lot of them that rather. So, how is that going to look as far as the landscape? I feel like I couldn't tell you who's going to be the favorite for 3, 4, 2A. I mean, for public school at least, I feel like at least in Greensboro, there's a ton of good teams. It's going to be really competitive across the board. You had Smith, who won it all last year. And they lost key pieces. So they're going to still contend, but how's it going to look? Southern Durham, the team that they played, they obviously graduated Jackson Keith, but they're still good. So what's everything going to look like?
I'm gonna tell you this, they may be better.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds absolutely insane, but when you start talking about AJ taking that step, and more importantly, it's not just a matter of like, well, it's the AJ and Jackson show. Now, like, that lineup is well-rounded. Like, they have really good players on that team. They're gonna cause a lot of problems.
I think you'd agree, though, taking Jackson Keith off any team, is
Oh,
going
I mean,
to be a
he's
loss.
a top one. What
And
was he,
that's
top
this is
75 player in the country, something like that? Top 50?
one team out of hundreds we can name. I feel like that's what I'm saying. It's just so wide open. You could talk about
Sure.
dozens of teams and say this team could possibly contend for a title this year.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I'm also interested to think about, like, I don't know what classification anyone's in public. Like,
Yeah,
and
actually, we have
I'm
public.
not going to know. Like, the only ones I'm going to know are the biggest public schools. Like, I know Myers Park is 8, I think. I think that, like, is Andrews like 5, 6, something like that. Like, we've mentioned Irv, and we'll shout him out for the great work he's doing. I don't know what classification they're in. I know Wilson Prep is 1. I know Henderson Collegiate is 2. I know Warren County is 2.
But we don't need to go through a whole list.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, other than like the ones that are directly connected to like my personal experience or the people who I have that are friends in the space, like, I couldn't tell you. So I mean, I'm interested to see what that looks like. But I know that you also had some takes on private that I'm interested to get into as well.
Sure. I mean, I think you could look at 4A now that given everything that Forsyth's done, it's hard to see as great of a classification as that is. It's hard to see many teams really dethroning them right now. They have to be considered the front runner, in my opinion. I
Who
mean, they
was
go
the kid
back.
they got that was recent that was of note from CP3 EYCL?
Jayon Connor. Yep, got him
Can
reclassified.
play.
Prince Noah
Man, he can
Okoroto.
play.
They have a legit rim protecting big. They got Max van Wederhorzen. I mean, they just got a ton of guys. I mean, Tyron
Man,
Graham.
that's.
Those are just incoming guys. They have Q Williams. They have J.R. Adams. They have A.D. Dalton. They have Adam Harrobi. I mean, they're a loaded team. There's one name I'm definitely forgetting, but
Gomez, you're forgetting Gomez.
yeah, Chris Gomez. Sorry, shout out to Chris Gomez. But yeah, so they're a great team. I think that they're obviously one of the strongest teams out right now. But then you look at 3A, loaded classification. You have GDS is as deep as they've ever been, I think. Concord, yearly contender, always in the mix for 30 wins, which, rarefied territory. And then you mentioned another.
My thing that the only thing I would disagree with what you're saying is those classifications are top heavy. Like, they're super top heavy. They're not they're I don't think that I would describe them as loaded classifications this year.
I mean, these teams are loaded. I'm saying these teams are.
Yes.
I don't. I mean, the top is heavy for sure in 3A, but I think you agree that there's 3, 4 teams that are legitimate dogs in this situation. We haven't even gotten down to 2A where,
Two
you
ways
got,
the gauntlet in private school
of
basketball.
course, Caldwell, Davidson Day's in this mix. Were they 3A now?
Davidson Day's three, yeah.
Yeah, so that's, there you go. There's, even if it's a short list, that list is so solid that I feel like you could have any one of those guys come out.
I'm not going to name any of the 2A teams because what always happens is there'll be a clip and it'll be like, well, they're hating on us. They're this, they're that.
Sure.
I'm not going to say that. Like the reality is, and this goes to any opposing coach or opposing player. If it's me and I'm your opponent, you're not being slept on. I'm sorry. Like I don't operate that way. So this illusion of like, we need bulletin board material and the disrespect, there is no disrespect. Like, I would say that that's why I just said that about 2A. If you went through it legitimately, you could find 12 teams that will win a playoff game. You will find that when you get into that means before the Elite Eight, someone is going to be sad because they're sitting at home. And so those are difficult types of things to go through, but the depth of the 2A division is really, really impressive. 1A, I mean, it kind of just is what it is. Like, I will tell you that a sleeper team in 1A this year is Crossroads. Shout out to Scotty Richardson, one of my longtime friends in this business. They went to the state championship game last year. I think that they're going to have a team that is poised to do that again this year, and I'm very excited to follow their success. So, definite shout out to Scotty and the guys at Crossroads. Fun fact, Scotty, I am undefeated against you, and I know that that's going to kill you until we play again. So just wanted to throw that in there from my Henderson Collegiate days.
Yeah, good. Shout out to Scotty, and shout out to Victory Christian. I think they also deserve a shout out having won
Sure.
several times in the last few years. And lastly, on these topics, I have 2028's making the leap. I think we've, especially over the summer, seen a lot of these guys started to really separate themselves from the rest of the pack. Not to mention any specific names yet, but this class is really strong, especially at the top. I think it goes 10, 15, 20 deep with really high level players. Whatever that means, we'll see in due time. But
Well, what it
ultimately,
means is that teams from other states will just come and take them.
well, hopefully we can keep North Carolina
Right.
basketball strong
I
enough
mean,
that we can keep them here.
that's an easy understanding at this
Yeah.
rate. Look
But
at a la class of 27. I mean, it's like that's pretty
and
given.
26.
And 26. I mean, that seems to be the MO is that I don't know how we couldn't be the hoop state if that continues to happen, but what do I know? I'm just a lowly basketball coach in Alamance County. This is a good segue, actually, to our top fives for today. So we made a good audible, I think a noteworthy audible is how you and I would both describe it. Initially, we really wanted to talk about the top five basketball venues because now there's been such an influx since COVID in the Rock Hills, the Rise, the Virginia Beach, the convention center type of stuff. And we were really excited about that conversation until we got to this point and we realized, man, like the conversation really doesn't have a ton of depth. Plus, we don't play in them. So it's not like we can say, like, yeah, we cooked at this event or we didn't, like, these gyms stink. Like, we don't have those experiences. Now, I will say, there's two areas where I will be very passionate about all venues. Okay. The first is parking. If your parking sucks, I promise you your venue is getting dropped. And the second is access to food. If
Yes.
you're not close to good food, forget it. If you don't have parking or food, you might as well not have an event. Like, you don't deserve to have an event. Rock Hill has done it right because they've added parking decks and the food places slap. And I stand by that. And that has nothing to do with our top fives of this week. And that is not my sound off, but it doesn't matter. On to the top fives of this week.
What a
So
segue.
we
You
are
said
going
what a
to,
transition.
I guess, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some of the unheralded 2028 players. You obviously have the top dogs. We are going to mention some of those. They're right to be mentioned. But we're also going to talk about who we believe is are going to step up in the class of 2028 for their respective schools this year. So I'll let you kick it off. I did make an audible last minute. I will tell you that when we are offline. It is what it is. Don't be mad at me, but you'll understand why.
Typical behavior from you.
All right.
I'll start. It's in no particular order. These were guys that we just discussed. We thought Impact 2028's worth talking about. I'll lead off with Kari Coleman. I don't know that there's a whole lot more I can say about this guy that I haven't already written.
Right.
He's one of the most impressive guards that I've seen in the last few years. He's really just showing the full toolkit with size and athleticism. Playmaking ability, scoring prowess. He really
Right.
has everything you want. Great instincts defensively. He's really just scratching the surface. Now he's at West Charlotte, immediate contender. They weren't even mentioned in our 3A public thing or whatever they are now. But Kari Coleman
Well
arguably
done.
probably is going to be in the running for the number one spot in the state. Obviously Xavier Hall is worth mentioning too. Now that Mason Collins is gone, I think he had that spot arguably locked up. But now Kari Coleman, arguably the top player in the state for his class, leading West Charlotte.
I think that when my initial impressions of Kahari's game, I just it's something to be said about, like, it doesn't feel like this is not a knock to his work ethic, and I hope that no one takes it as such, but he just has such natural instincts for the game. It doesn't feel like he's like a training baby. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like
Game's effortless to him.
in the definition of hoop, like he is a hooper, period. Like he doesn't need to work on in between cones. Let me do an in and out into a spin or a Euro step or that. Like he just plays the game and his instincts are so natural. So I agree with you. I mean, I would be stunned if he wasn't in the top three long term in this conversation. He's got great size as a lead guard. I think he's in for a huge year for sure.
Yeah, and I'd also mention having seen him last year as a freshman at Harding, he was already really, really talented, and that was evident. But he's grown, and now he's in a situation where he has a lot more surrounding talent, where it really shows his ability to flourish with surrounding pieces as opposed to being the sole option. And it just looks really good. So.
No doubt. I'm going to go a little off the wall here with my list, and I hope that people stay with me. The first person I'm going to discuss is Mason Murphy from Eastern Alamance High School. And the reason I'm going to discuss Mason is because having seen him play for the last 2 years and to see his maturation, the fact that now he's a legitimate 6'4", 6'5", and still growing, I think he's grown probably 2 or 3 inches since last year. So when you start thinking about him growing into his potential, and then with the Bulldogs this summer, what I really liked having seen him in a few events was he's starting to get more physical. He's starting to match the nature of what that team does. Their head coaches do a phenomenal job of emphasizing toughness with all of their players. And Mason being one of those guys who's the more skilled of that group, when he marries those two things, I think his potential is going to be really great. Parrish Walker is an incredible head coach. He is not talked about enough in the state of North Carolina. I think that he's going to build something very special at Eastern Alamance in the future. And Mason is a big part of that right now.
Yeah, really well said. I mean, Mason, you can see his growth over the last few years, to your point, but I think the sky's really the limit for him. He's really just scratching the surface with his ability, his combination of size and skill. And as you said, if he continues to get more physical while adding that athleticism, he really has endless potential.
Absolutely.
Yep, for my next one, the guy we talked about previously, I think you gave him a shout out on the last podcast, Cameron Moore at Greenfield. Another guy who's already an impact freshman, but he'll just continue to grow. I think we've talked about last, so we'll be brief here, but we talked about last time about kind of how he's developed over the last 6 to 8 months. He's an incredible passer, especially for his size. The jumper continues to develop, but everything else is already there. The versatility on both ends of the floor, the ability to grab and go. I think he really is just also another guy that's scratching the surface yet is already so good. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how he develops over this next 6 months with, increased repetitions.
Shout out to the Team Loaded family with Cameron Moore. I mean, he's tremendous. I've talked about his passing at length. I think that all the things that you're saying make sense. One thing that I think is a really important piece to know about Cam is his willingness to guard whatever position is necessary is so impressive. Like, I've literally seen him switch on to point guards, and I've seen him guard centers. And that is not an exaggeration. Like, that happened throughout the course of July with Team Loaded. I think so highly of him and his family. I just can't wait to see how he continues to progress moving forward. Going into my next one, I got to go Jaden Adams from Crescent Christian. Shout out to Coach Ray. Big time pickup here late in the process. Jaden coming over from Mount Zion, was originally at Eastern Alamance before reclassing. I mean, he's a dog. That's just point blank and period. I love guards who are at that level of like 6'1", 6'2". He can get on the rim. Last year in Myrtle Beach, he had a 50-point game for Mount Zion. This is a clear bucket getter. I will not hold it against you, Jaden, the fact that you hit a game winner against Team Loaded South when we were in Texas in session one. I promise I am over it. But you did hit a beautiful game winner there. That was really unfortunate to see because I had the angle of the shot where you see it, and it's like the second it leaves his hand, you know it's going in. Those are brutal angles to have as a coach, but he's tremendous. His ability to attack, his ability to touch the paint, he's going to take a big step this year. So definitely one to watch out for in 28s.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just echo that. Quick, heady point guard, lead guard, touches the paint, good defender, all that stuff. He'll be a good piece for them. My next guy, I think, staying on kind of the already known prospects. This will be probably my last one in that department. But AJ Mormon, you already spoke about it a little bit. You kind of stole my thunder in that first segment, and talking about AJ Mormon, knowing that I was going to talk about him. However, what more needs to be said? The kid's just brilliant. He's going to be another one of those guys, like I feel like Deontay Neal, where he's just going to continue to perform and win, and people are going to question his size, but the guy is just a killer. Tight, crafty handle, gets wherever he wants off the bounce. Pace is great, feel is awesome. He elevates everybody around him. His ability to score, play make, whatever you need. I mean, he contains his position defensively. I just think he's a great player and still one of the top players in this class.
It's a great, probably a great example of a point guard having selflessness and high IQ. Very rarely makes a decision that is not in the team's best interest. Not a cone baby. Like, again, it's one of those things where I just can't reiterate that enough when we talk about this class. Like, there's a lot of kids that have great instincts and IQ. And I think that that has honestly been missing in basketball in general recently. And the more that we can bring that back and celebrate that, the better. But there's nothing else that needs to be said. They need to be one of the favorites in that classification for state championship contenders. And I know that they're going to be hungry to get back there and win the whole thing. So really, really excited to follow AJ moving forward this year. My next one is going to be Dyson Britt from Gaston Day. Tough as nails. Another Team Loaded guy, does a tremendous job of getting to the paint, like one of the absolute best at that, and is an extremely underrated shooter. What was so impressive to me about Dyson, having seen him play so many times this summer, was just his willingness to guard. He guards really well on the perimeter. When we played the Strictly Business Ballers in the July Live period, I mean, we put him on Chase, and like Chase got what he wanted at times, but Dyson also was like, he's not backing down from him. And I think that says a lot when you talk about a 2-year disparity and you talk about Dyson playing up two levels to be in the 17 and under division. So I think he's on a track that is going to be really, really positive there. I think Gaston Day is a sleeper team in 2A. So again, you're not surprising me. Like, that's just, sorry. Like, I do my homework. So for them, I know that they're going to have some really good things going on, but he is going to be the leader of that, which I'm excited to see.
Yeah, and his brother was a great player, Chris Britt, and obviously he's got a great coach now in Darion. Really, really excited to see what he's going to become. For my fourth option, I have Roman Solheim. A lot of people might not know about him.
Killer.
Northwest Guilford, 6'6", forward with guard skills. I love how hard he plays. His instincts are natural on both ends of the floor, but like I said, versatile forward, kind of can ball handle the ball, score from multiple levels, create for others. Just has really great feel for the game. And again, guy that's just kind of tucked away, played for CP3 EYCL this last year. And I think he's just a guy that's going to continue to grow. He'll be one of the top players in this class, possibly come their senior year.
I mean, again, like another kid where the versatility, like you said, is just so evident. Gotta love kids like that who can kind of be do it everything forwards, and a great passer, like not dissimilar from Cam Moore and kind of his skill set and the way that he approaches the game of basketball, which I think is great. The benefit for him is, I think, a more polished shooter. Like someone who can really handle and like get himself in those in the positions to be successful there. The next one I'm going with is Jeremiah Harper, J Harp. I mean, again, another loaded guy. There's a reason that I'm doing this strategically, and it's going to come to our third section and third segment. So Jeff is already aware of what that will be. But J Harp transferred to Trinity Christian School in Fayetteville, immediately took on a leadership role. I think that one of his greatest strengths is the fact that because of his mentality, he's willing to be confrontational as a leader. And I think that's important. I wish that more kids had that ability. And what I don't mean by that is I'm going to be confrontational, like to fight you. It's I'm going to be confrontational because I want to hold you accountable. You're not doing what you're supposed to do as a teammate. So I'm going to make sure that my energy helps you get there. And he shows that on the court. Like, whether he's right or wrong, he is giving you 1,000% effort. There were multiple instances this summer where we were literally in games at the 15U level because of Jeremiah Harper. And so I'm so thrilled to see kind of him take off and him be back healthy after an injury in the spring. But I would expect a big year from him at Trinity.
And he's a guy that's always played up, I feel like, in multiple areas. Played up, played obviously on varsity as a freshman and performed. So definitely a guy to watch for. My last guy rounding out my list, I have Hunter Gerald. He's now at Carmel Christian. I just feel like given their roster situation, given what he provides, he'll take some scoring load off of the other guys they have, especially Logan Johnson. And what he is able to do defensively, he's a great athlete with size. He's switchable. I think people kind of, he's very unassuming the way he kind of approaches the game. And he's very silent demeanor, but the kid can play. He just straight up produces every time I see him. So definitely a guy I think will be a key piece for that group.
Yeah, I don't know that we played against him when we played them in June. And so I'm not 100% sure if I really don't remember if he played in that game, but I do know his game and I am familiar with it. I think that, again, as someone who is young, like he's just starting to get stronger, he's just starting to get more confident. He's going to be big for that team. I mean, I could see him being a starter for them.
He will.
I think that him, I think that. Low, I think that they'll probably want to move Low into that wing or two guard spot. And I think his position is going to be the one that does that. That leads me to a side note, which I think is important to say on here for the sake of accountability. A good top five for us, once you mention Logan, would be top five bucket getters in the state. Like, he just spoiler alert, he'd be on my list. But the fact that you said that, I just had to say that out loud. I think that my last one is not a surprise. He's already extremely highly regarded. I tried to go kind of off of the main path, like Jeff, who tried to take a more high level approach with his first three picks. Mine is all Mekhi Allen. Like, I don't know that it's been a situation where. Leaving a game. So we scrimmaged Queens Grant last year in a closed scrimmage. And There were multiple instances. So for one, Makai was already 6'4", 6'5", as a 14-year-old or whatever the case may be. It's pretty rare that you see a kid like that at that age come off a floppy action into an immediate catch and shoot three from the wing with perfect footwork. I mean, Jeff, like at his size, that is remarkable stuff. And that doesn't include the athleticism, the disruption on defense. To me, the reason he's on this list to look out for is, I mean, he could average 20 plus this season. And I think that for them to get to the level they want to go, which is a state championship, they might need him to do that. And I'm excited for that. I think that he's going to be kind of the biggest piece to them. And I know that they've got other guys that are phenomenal and Chase and Bobby Montgomery and, a number of other players. But I think Makai, man, he is a special talent. And I'm excited to follow his career moving forward.
A few things. I agree with everything you said. I saw Makai a couple weeks ago playing up an age group, and he looked extremely good in that role as well, just making things very simple. And when things are simple for him, the game looks really easy. So I noticed who you left off. I'm not going to mention that. Nice job. But there it's also worth mentioning, I didn't pick a kid from Queens Grant or like Davidson Day because these rosters are full of really
No,
talented guys. So
sure.
it's like these are relative based off of impact, I think, for me. So I just want to round that out with my
Got you.
final guys.
All right, into segment three. This is the moment that Jeff and I have been waiting for. Jeff has been anxiously trying to get to a place where he's excited to just destroy me in this argument, or so he claims. I'm excited to hold it down for my three stripes brethren. But the debate is going to be this. We're going to talk about what is the best circuit for travel basketball. That's it. That's the question. I think that we can both agree that there are two that really take the cake. This is not a knock to any of the other circuits, but the reality is when you talk about depth of talent and you talk about just the marketing and everything that goes into those circuits being great, I think the top two are Adidas and Nike. And I think that you would agree with that. Okay. So why don't we start off just in general? Like you clearly are going to take the Nike stance. I'm going to hold it down for Adidas. Go ahead. What is your kind of opening argument as to why that's the case?
Well, first of all, I want to say that you wanted this. You actually chose Adidas. So shout out to you for that. From my end, as far as the highest level of talent, they play in the UIBL. It's proven. We look at as I do with everything, we look at the top level of basketball. Look at the NBA. Look at how the NBA is structured. In 2023, November, they did a survey of 392 American-born players who were eligible to play in these circuits 2010 or later. Of that 392, 213 of them, 54%, were UIBL players. And of that 392, only 61 were Adidas players. So I'll start there.
And you'll stop there. That's the deal.
I'll start there. But if you look further, I mean, you even as they update the drafts, like this most recent draft, you had 13 guys from in the first round from the UIBL. Then it drops off to 10 international, and then three independent, and then you have two for 3SSB, and then one for UA Next and Pro 16. It's just interesting to see how kind of as far as the top level talent, because you'd made a great point before we jumped on. Obviously, the top prospects are going to go to the NBA and they're going to be considered UIBL players, but they were going to play Nike regardless. But I think that kind of is proofed in the numbers that, yeah, the best players do play in UIBL for the most part, or at least the highest level players, the guys who flourish at the highest level do.
So, all of the guys that you're mentioning, though, would they not be pros at any classification? Would they not be pros at any circuit?
More than likely, but I mean, we can't deal in hypotheticals here. I mean, I'm just basing this off of numbers.
Yeah, but like you can deal in hypotheticals in the sense of like those guys are going to be pros regardless. So that is more of like a marketing, like longevity of a program and their focus. Like, or, and I, by the program, I'm referring to the sneaker company. Like, if I'm thinking about Adidas as a whole, I'm thinking about like what is going to translate basketball wise to the next level. You're talking about pros and the highest level of basketball. That's fine. Like I can understand where you're coming from in that. There is no way that you could say, having seen both of those events, that a team from top to bottom that is more collegiate ready is not 3SSB. There's no way. Like you're talking about players, and this is the thing. Like I'll concede the fact that like there may be more stars, right? But when you start talking about the general, like I'm going top to bottom of the entire league, right? The number one center in the country was an Adidas guy.
Okay.
It's not debatable. Those are the facts. You're
I feel
talking
you.
about guys like Caleb Holt, who I guarantee you is going to be in that mix for number one. I don't know that he'll get there, but he's going to be in the mix because of where he goes to high school now and because of his trajectory. Then you're talking about guys who aren't even on that list. Like the point guard who's going to Purdue from Indiana Elite, who would go into the EYBL sessions and fry. So I'm just talking about the depth of talent and in terms of college readiness. The argument of, well, Nike gets pro. They're pros anyway.
I don't
They're
know that that's
pros
fair.
anyway.
I don't know that that's fair, but I do hear your overall
So
sentiment. And
AJ wasn't a pro when he was in ninth grade.
I mean, I definitely thought so, but that's not the overarching point. I don't know that. I mean, even beyond the pros, what's to say that Nike doesn't prepare you for college?
No, and I think that we would need data on that before we were just able to jump into that. I'm just saying, by what I've seen, having seen both of them, I'm telling you that the quality of the games that I'm seeing is better with 3SSB. That's all.
But I'd
Again,
also like to preface what
one man's opinion, but this is what I have seen.
I hear you. And I would also like to counter that, but just by simply saying, I think it's all got watered down. I want to reiterate that over the last few years, everything has gotten watered down. The last EYBL session I went to was before COVID. So when I see these teams now, I think it's not as good. I think you see a lot more lopsided competition. But that's more so based on the geography of things. I just think the talent pools are watered down. But that said, even with that, since 2010, you can look at the NBA and say, and I'm not trying to hammer that point home, but it's not just stars. There are role players. I mean, there's players of every level that have been. I mean, Team CP3, it led the in 2023 the NBA with 11 guys. And then you play Canada with 10. I don't know. I mean, how many of the Team CP3 guys could you definitely name? And are they stars? I don't think so. But they have plenty of guys in the league. So I'm just saying that I think both can be true. I think both prepare you for college. And from what I've seen, obviously I haven't been to many in the last few years, but I feel like Nike still has the top teams based off what I see.
I would love to see them line it up though.
Absolutely.
Like, and I tend to see, again, my perspective is that when those matchups take place, 3SSB is going to be more prepared for those type of matchups. And here's the reality, right? Like, especially if you look at a team like Game Elite, right? Those dudes were with each other all the way throughout high school. They were with each other the entire time. They were extremely impressive. Like, it's not just Caleb Holt, it's all the other guys that are all part of that roster and a part of that program, plus the coaching staff, plus whoever. I think that what happens is a lot of times people get blinded by the swoosh because they see the excessive nature of what Peach Jam is. Peach Jam is an incredibly impressive event. Like, I'm not here to knock what that is. I'm just saying that from the perspective of a basketball mind, to me, when I go and see these teams and I'm seeing offense and structure and team makeup and all these different things, I think at Nike, You probably are dealing with a few more teams who are just stacking teams with stars without no any real continuity.
That's fair.
I mean, I don't see that when I see Indiana Elite. I don't see that when I see some of these other great Adidas teams, like Wildcat Select, Team Loaded. Like, I mean, these are teams that have played EYBL teams this year and mashed them. So I'm just saying that from the perspective, this is, I think, more a difference in what we value as like literal individuals, right? Like perspectives. You're focusing on what is the top level of basketball? Where are you going to get to, right? The pros. I'm focused on what is going to prepare you for what is the next level. The next level is not the pros. The next level is college, and then it is the pros. So when I think about the grit and the toughness of EYBL, it's all the way, or excuse me, EYBL and Adidas. But when I think about the general, like the landscape of how things are going, I think it's got to be Adidas all the way, all the way.
Yeah, that's
What are
fair.
your other arguments? I know that you got
I mean,
more lined up.
no, I my mind was really based more on the NBA talent. I think that really was my overarching point. I don't have a whole lot as far as the college guys go because I don't have the thousands of players that are in college right now. But I do think that, not to say that this is good, bad, or indifferent, but kind of how you see college teams restructuring every single year and there being a revolving door. I don't think this is necessarily a good point, but it's more just the reality of these EYBL teams have a lot more of that type structure where it is, you're really going to have to figure it out and find your role, as opposed to this is a cohesive unit from day one to your team building point.
Sure. Well, the other thing that I think that Adidas is doing a really good job of, which continues to show how they're at the forefront of this, is they are doing a good job of taking their stars and making them Adidas young men and women earlier. I think that that matters, and I think that it matters for marketing. I think that you see people like a Darren Peterson who are already benefiting from it tremendously. And people will say, oh, well, that's not possible for the 250th ranked player. And you're 100% right. That is true. But it's still more possibilities being given. And I think that that's a really positive thing in the light of NIL, which I think is really cool for them to be doing. So, another kind of cool thing. I just wish that there wasn't this like, it's so easy to be blinded by like what is said to like what it makes me think of is like, let's just settle this with games. Like, let's get the game set up.
Sure.
Like, that'll never happen.
That just not happen.
It will never happen ever. It will never happen for any organization, and it will never happen for any, like, it's tough because now the threat is, oh, well, we beat you, so we'll take your guys. Like,
Right.
that's the reality. So it is what it is. I don't necessarily agree with it. I don't agree with that point at all. But you know, it's just one of those things that we just have to be aware of. But I mean, I'm team three stripes all the way. I was so impressed. The number one takeaway I had when I walked into the gym in Texas, the first session that I was there for Adidas, was how difficult it was to win. Like, that is a testament to coaching. It's a testament to depth of talent. It's a testament to strategy. It's not just a testament to you having a star. Like, there's a difference in terms of what I think is valued. Adidas is more aligned to my value. That's why I'm going with them. That's the reality. I think that
That's
you would
fair.
agree that Nike that would apply for that for you.
Sure.
There you have it. Inconclusive, let us know what you think is the best. I mean, I don't know. I think that it probably will go either way. A lot of love for, well, a lot of love for people on the Adidas side, though. I gotta hold it down, man. Everybody's given like knocking it like it's some secondary circuit. Like it isn't. It's, I mean, I just want to see the games lined up. That's all. I just want to see the games lined up.
Me too.
Sound offs. What do you got today, man? I know that we're right here at the tail end, but what do you got for us today?
I think now that we're approaching the high school season and there's going to be a lot of just general nonsense being spewed on social media, I just feel that people should say what they feel. There's no need to be shy or coy. Just speak openly. If you have something you need to say, say it. There's no need to hide. That's all.
I love that sentiment. I think that that's fantastic. For me, I think that it is more about having a greater level of appreciation for the recruiting process. And I've reflected on that a lot since the last one. I stand by what I said about the challenges that student athletes are facing getting recruited right now. And I do think that it's unrealistic for college coaches to want perfect players in a perfect situation. But at the same time, on the player's side, you got to appreciate what's given. Like, you got to appreciate what's going on. It's one of those situations where if you're blessed with an offer at any level, it's a big deal. For me in my playing career, I was very blessed to have multiple Division III opportunities, but I didn't have the grades or the academic standing to get into any of those opportunities outright. So for me, my athletic experience was drastically impacted as a result of that. And so my big challenge to student athletes right now is like, stay the course, stay ready, stay focused, but also understand that when these things come, it's a blessing. So please understand and be appreciative of that. Be respectful of any college coach who is reaching out to you or recruiting you, regardless of the level, because you don't know where they're going to be in the next couple of years. And because just general good manners and good morals should tell you, you got to make sure that you're doing things the right way. But that would be my sound off today, is continue to appreciate the process, because if you're benefiting from it, it's a very special thing.
Absolutely. Well said.
Cool. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Another great episode of Buckets and Banter. Really excited to continue this process. We are 5 episodes in. We've got some big things on the horizon with some potential guests in the future. So be on the lookout for that and stay tuned. All right. I am going to have to edit this out for the following reason. I can't like get off of Zoom right now,
Why?
because the bottom thing is not showing up. Like, the thing, it's not like I don't really know how to describe it, but I'm gonna quit Zoom just as a heads up, and I'll snip this part out and I'll let you know how the rest goes.
All right. Hey, next time we should do top five like sports movies or basketball movies.
Sure, that'll be good. Not top five bucket getters for Lowe.
Oh, I mean, we could do that too, but I'm just trying to keep. I mean, we just fucking improved an idea on the fly today, so I felt like maybe just a suggestion in case we could use it, you know.
I like the suggestion. I think it's good.
Appreciate it.
Cool. All right. Hold on 1 second. Don't even know if I can quit right now. I don't know what the hell's going on.
To leave.
It's not letting me select anything.
Want me to leave? I can leave.
Yeah, leave and see if that works.